Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Beit. And just to review, we've been in the middle of the sugya of the food. What kind of food is good? How to get the food that's there? And one of those issues had to do with using a robot or something that doesn't have das. And like a monkey, or we had a trained elephant, some pretty cute cases. And I'm sure Richie probably had La Principessa in the shir yesterday just to hear the part about the elephants, her favorite. And we were talking about whether there's a chazoka shliachos or shlichuso. If you had appointed somebody to get it from the elephant or from the drone or from the monkey, whatever it was, and put it down there, can you rely on that or not? So the last thing that we had learned was right on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beit, that Reb Nachman said, if you're talking about a deoraita, then ein chazaka shliach osa shlichuto. And then I wouldn't rely on what Reb Yechiel says, that we have a general chazaka shliach osa shlichuto. But if you're talking about a derabonan, which is the issue of year of Eruv, so then chazaka shliach osa shlichuto, because basically, you're not going to be over on an iser that you intended to be over on. And because of that, we don't have a worry. You have a right to rely on it. Whereas Reb Shesha said, echad zeh ve'echad zeh, chazak shliach osa shlichuto. That was the last din that we had. So we're on the third line. And what we need to look into right now in order to just understand very rapidly what the Gemara is going to be doing, we have a lot of places where we do rely 100% on Isuri Deoraita on the fact that things were taken care of for us. And Reb Sheshes is basing his din on that. You can rely even on a Deoraita that people will take care of things for you. However, the Gemara is docha all of those rayas simply because in those cases, we're not talking about a personal shliach. We're talking about relying on a bezdin. We're talking about special cases where we have other chazokas that are involved, like, for instance, a chazoka that a chover won't let things out of his rishus without meiser. That has nothing to do with the general din of shliach osa shlichuto. And therefore, Reb Nachman maintains that all of those cases are basically not nogea the din of shlichut. So just to get through this daf, up to the next sugya, we're going to go through a number of different places where Reb Sheshes says, look, obviously we rely on the shliach. I mean, it says beferish in the Mishnah, then in Menachos, that the moment that the Omer is brought in the Beis HaMikdash, obviously at that point you're allowed to eat Chodesh, right? But how about if you live far away from the Beis HaMikdash and you don't know when the Omer is brought? So when can you start eating Chodesh? On the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. So it says over there, please mute yourselves. It says over there that you can rely on the fact that by the time noon comes, it's definitely brought. Well, how can you rely on that? Unless you're relying on Shliach Osa Shlichuto, right? So you understand that the Kohanim are your shluchim to do the Aveda, and therefore they took care of it. Says the Gemara, no, obviously not. Because the reason over there is the way the Mishnah itself says. Everybody can assume sheyodim she'ein beitin mitatzlin bo. There's a bezdin there, and the beitin is not going to allow them to take it easy. This is a tzorach harabim, and it will be taken care of. As a matter of fact, the very fact that the Mishnah said that means that if anything, it seems to be a riot to Reb Nachman, who says, you see, if it wouldn't be for the fact that the Bezdin is relied on, we would not rely on the Kohanim. So if anything, the Mishnah proves my point. And that's the Ike de Amre, which sees it in the exact opposite direction. Yeah. Little heavy duty soda here. So, because the only reason you can rely on it is because it says that the Bezdin isn't Mizatz, okay? Whereas Reb Sheshes says, no, wait a minute. That's why you could rely on it by noon. That's true. I never said that you could rely on a shliach getting something done instantly. I just said you could be sure he got it done. So if it wouldn't have been for the best, then you would have had to wait till the end of the day to rely on the shlichut. The Mishnah is explaining why you can even assume it was done by noon, but the fundamental idea that you're relying on people getting things done is still true. Okay, so this didn't boil down to very much. Says Rav Sheshet, okay, let me try again. Suppose a woman has a chiyuv of a karban. Either she's yoledes or a zava. So what does she do? Well, as we know, basically they're vending machines. You walk into the Beis HaMikdash and you have these shofarot. You put your money into the shofar with a ticket with your name, and that's it. You go home, and that evening you can already eat kachim. Of course, you have to go to the mikveh because someone who was not allowed to eat kachim, even though they're tahar, but only not for kachim. Before they eat kachim, they have to go to the mikveh. Okay, fine. So she goes to the mikveh during the day because definitely she can rely on the fact that the kohanim definitely was going to take care of it for her. Now, that apparently means that we rely on the kohen. So must be I'm right. She's a shliach. Shliach is a shlichuto. Again, Reb Nachman says no, because the situation over there is a different chazaka. The different chazaka is chazaka ein beidin shel kohanim omdim misham beidin, not the kohanim. There was a special beidin to see to it that everything was done properly by the kohanim, and they wouldn't let the kohanim out until every single cent that had been put into the vending machine was accounted for and definitely had been used to bring the various karbonis that needed to be brought. Okay, says Rav Sheshet, I'll bring you another raya that you can rely on a shliach. Look, it says in a braita that if a guy says to a friend, go and take whatever you want, figs, I got this great fig tree, go and collect as many figs as you want from my fig tree. Okay, so you can go over to that fig tree, you can munch as much as you want without worrying about meiser, because that is not yet kavua la meiser. You're just picking off the tree and eating it. You don't have to take meiser until you're koveya it in a sudas keva or for Shabbos or bringing it into the house, as we'll learn in Maasrot. Now, what do you do, however, once it becomes a su'uda kavua? Meaning that at this point, you either brought it into your home, or you're sitting down and making a real meal of it, or at Shabbos, any su'uda on Shabbos is by definition called kiva. So then what do? So then you definitely are going to have to take off meiser, and that meiser is a vadai, meaning you'll have to give the truma to the kohen, and you'll have to give the meiser to the levi, and you make a brocha and a vadai, and so on and so forth. However, if the guy told him, here, take this basket, fill the basket up, and you could fill up with my tree for free, take whatever you want. So then again, he can eat with them as he's picking them. But then when he takes off meiser, he can only take off meiser as demai, which is great because he doesn't have to give the things, he doesn't have to give the levy and the ani the meiser, because he's allowed to eat that. It's only a monetary issue, and it's a suffix. So prove to me that meiser wasn't taken by the guy who gave it to me. Maybe the guy who gave it to me took off meiser. Why? Because in this case, he knows he gave me the basket. So he knows precisely how much meiser needed to be taken from this, and therefore perhaps he did. And there, you want to prove to me that he didn't, I'll be happy to give you, Mr. Levy, the meiser, and I'll be happy to give you, Barnea, Barnea gets anyway because the truma you're not allowed to eat. But we'll be able to give the ani if he can prove it wasn't taken before. Now, and here's the crucial words. Bamed varim amurim. Now, when do we say this, that it's considered to be nemai? Only when the donor, the notain, he was an Ama Oretz. But if the donor was a chaver, so then you don't have to take off Maaser, because a chaver, for sure, since he knew precisely, he gave you the basket. So says Rebbe, you can rely on a chaver that if he told you to take it, then definitely he will take off Maaser from his own home on that one basket worth of figs or dates that he gave you, right? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who is Rebbe's father, says, no, on the contrary, when do we say this, that you are going to see it as my, that's dafka, when the notain, the donor, was an Amaretz? Because an Amaretz, he might have taken off Trumas HaMaisers for you. But a chaver would never do such a thing. What? That's right. Because in order to do it for you, he would have to take off the maaser shalom min hamukaf, right? Because you've walked off with that basket. He's got his stuff in a house maybe miles away. And the din is that lo nechshadu chaverim litrom shalom min hamukaf. We for sure are not even choshesh, even to make it into demai. It's 100% he would not have taken off the Truma Semaisers for you, because he would be over on the Isser of Shalom and Amukav, which according to almost everybody is a Dirabonan, although there are one Shita among the Rishonim that it's actually a Diraisa Shalom and Amukav. Okay, but let's assume it's Dirabonan to make the sugya clear according to almost all the Rishonim. So when Rebbe heard what his father said, he said, I have to say that my own opinion seems to be more correct than my dad's opinion here. Because, I mean, look, you are a chaver. You gave this guy a basket and told him to fill it up. If this guy is going to eat, he's going to eat without taking off Maaser, then it's going to be on your head. I mean, you want to be machshil this guy to eat from Tevel? Or do you want to make 100% that when you gave a gift, that gift did not have any kind of Yisurin associated with it? I mean, obviously it's his responsibility. It's not really your responsibility. But a chaver would be very careful that no one should ever get to a situation of eating Tevel, even if it means that I will have to do something that goes against my principles, which is please mute yourself, which is to be terem shalom and amukav. I'll do that, because it's better I should violate my principles than he should violate an Isser D'Oraisa, right? So therefore, it makes more sense, says Rebbe, in terms of the sense of responsibility of the chaver, it makes more sense to believe that he would definitely have taken care of it. And therefore, in that case, there should be a clarity that the guy actually would have taken off. Better to do that. Velo yachilu la'amaretz tvalim. I don't want, because of me, that the Amaretz will be eating tevel. Now note that the only machlokas over here, says Reb Sheshes, is about the question of which one is more mistaber, that the chaver would be nechshad on nechshad. I mean, in this case, it's a mitzvah to take a shalom and amukav, and Reb Shimon Gamliel held no. Even here, they're not nechshad. But normally, it seems to be clear that 100% you can assume that the chaver did the maaser for you, if it wouldn't have been for that problem of shalom and amukav. See, you can rely on people taking care of what their responsibility is. And, says Reb Nachman, for God's sake, this is not because of the responsibility of a shliach. This is a different chazakah. You're creating a chazakah that Rav Yechiel taught us about yesterday, that there's a chazakah shliach osa shlichuto. I'm claiming that chazakah is not really all that hatsitatsi. You can rely on it for drabbonin. You can't rely on it for diraita. You come along and you bring me a totally different chazakah, which has nothing to do with our conversation. Namely, that a chazakah that a chaver will never be motzi davar she'eno mitukan mitachat yado. Is that a chazakah, well-known chazakah? Does that have anything to do with chazakah shliach osa shlichuto? Reb Sheshes, please. So don't bring me a raya from one type of chazakah to another chazakah. That, I agree with you 100%. A chaver, once we determine what a chaver's moral standards are vis-a-vis his responsibility to the Am Haaretz versus his responsibility to not be termed Shalom and Amuka, I understand that has to be decided. Of course, that's about Chorkas Rebbe Shmuel Gamaliel. But in the event that we're relying on a chaver, it is not a din in Shlichus. It's simply a din in Chaverut. So, fine. Therefore, we don't have any raya. We're stuck with the machlokas between Reb Nachman and Reb Sheshet. Do we say chaver osu shliach osu shlichuso on a diaraisa or only on a drabonin? But once we brought this up, the whole thing didn't really make much sense because you brought this braisa, Reb Sheshet, and it said over there, when do we say that you take it off as demai when the guy who owned that tree and he was the donor of the fruit, that he's an Am Haaretz. But if he was a chaver, so then Rebbe said, you can eat and you don't have to worry about it because he definitely took off trumas and maisers for you. Now, I don't understand what the case is. Excuse me. You're talking about if the guy is an Am Haaretz, okay? So it says he told a friend. Who's a friend? A friend is another Am Haaretz, right? I mean, so if he said it to Am Haaretz Chavre, he said it to a friend of his who's also Am Haaretz, how are you telling an Am Haaretz to take off Meiser of Demai? Am Haaretz thinks you're an idiot. What do you mean Meiser of Demai? Am Haaretz are much more reliable than you crazy frummies. We're the ones that actually take off Meiser properly. So he's not going to listen to you. He says you want to trust somebody. This is a guy to trust. He's got a kippah through guy. You're wearing one of those crazy shtreimels. I would never trust you for nothing. So the halakha doesn't make sense because you can't tell somebody to do something that he's going to think you're nuts. He's not going to listen to you. So mitzayit, but he's going to listen to you. So, I mean, it's got to be talking about that the owner might have been Am Haaretz and he said it to a friend who was a chaver. Okay, so the chaver will understand halacha that he's got to take off demai. But then the problem is that the next piece doesn't make any sense because the next piece said that according to Rebbe says, I think what I say makes much more sense than what my Abba says because it's better that the chaverim should be chosher and in term shalom and amukav than that they should come to a situation where chas for shalom and Abba. An Am Haaretz will be nichshal in eating. What Am Haaretz? I thought we just said the guy who took the figs was not an Am Haaretz. Didn't you just say that it could only work out if he's a chaver? So if the Reish is talking about, we proved it's got to be talking about a chaver. So then how does the chaver in the Seifa, who is a donor, I'm very confused. I thought the donor was the Am Haaretz. What's going on over here? So how did Am Haaretz suddenly get into where before we were talking about Chaverim? And now we've switched everything. Says Ravina, that's right. We did. We switched everything. Obviously, there's two different cases. In other words, the Reisha is talking about the donor is the Am Haaretz and the recipient is the Chaver. And the Seifa is talking about that the donor is a Chaver who had told it to an Am Haaretz. And that way, we understand what the case is. You'll ask me, so I don't understand if he said it to an Am Haaretz. So who are we talking to when we say you don't have to take off Meiser? He wouldn't take off Meiser. He's the Am Haaretz. He's always assuming that things are Meiser. No, what happened over here is there was another guy who was a chaver who overheard the chaver telling the Am Haaretz to take this basket and take from my tree. Then that Am Haaretz offers him some of that fruit. That chaver, it's who we're talking to, that chaver who overheard, he can be certain that the chaver who told the Am Haaretz to take the fruit, he took care of it. And therefore, he can be certain that the chaver was Terem, even though it was Shalom and Amukav. That's what Rebbe is saying. So everything works out fine because he would not want to be Makshel somebody. Mashenken Reb Shimon Gamliel says that, no, I hold that a chavra for sure is not going to take off something shalom and amukav, and that's what Rebbe was saying. It's better to be chosher to take shalom and amukav than to bring a situation about where the ama aretz that he gave it to, not the chavra who was overhearing, obviously, the ama aretz that he gave it to would be in a matzav of eating something that was not metukan. That's all. The machlokas being a general yesod. Rebbe holds, says the Gemara, Nechale l'chover de la'avid hu isura kalila. A chover would prefer to do a minor iser of a truma shalom and amukav and not be geirim that the ama oretz to whom he had given the basket of fruit should be over on isura rabba, even though he didn't, he wasn't machshel him. I mean, it's up to the ama oretz to take off trumas and maasers. He took it off of the tree. He wants to rely on me. I mean, that's his problem. It's not my problem. Nonetheless, Taina's Rebbe, even so, because he was involved in the transaction, and in the end, if the ama oretz, in fact, does not take off trumas and maasers, he feels very guilty. I should never have given it to him. And so on. So because of that, he would rather take care of it, even though it's shalom and amukav. Was Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Savar, Nechalei Lechaver, De La'avid Amaretz Yisura Rabba? No. He would prefer that the Amaretz, who's got his own responsibilities in life and has no right to come around and assume that everybody's taking care of things for him like a spoiled child, let him worry about his problems. I'll worry about my problems. He wants to do an Yisura Rabba? That's his business. I'm certainly not going to do even Nisura Kalila Lolava. Now, obviously, you'll all remember the issues that we had in this similar sugya. Tosis goes through all of the different cases. Remember, we had back in Masechet Shabbat that if somebody sticks a piece of bread on the side of an oven right before Shabbos, whether it's mutter to be morid the pas before it gets cooked, in order that the guy shouldn't end up being over on an Isser D'Oraisa and be Chayav Achatas, all those types of cases that we spoke about, Tosfos goes through and explains why they are not precisely the same as the case over here. Okay, so this pretty much wraps up. This was something of a tangential issue. We started in discussing, can you rely on the fact that the Eruv was there? And then what we went into was the overall question. Just like when we were talking about, can you use this food? We went into the question of what is called food for all types of other issues. Same thing is true over here. We were talking about relying on shlichut, and we went into a whole discussion of relying on other people under all kinds of different circumstances. And now we can move on with the help of our kapitan.
Rebbe, if Rebbe saw somebody driving with a brake on so the gears were grinding, but you know in a few minutes he's going to reach a stop sign anyway, would you let him drive with the gears grinding because anyway soon there'll be a stop sign, or do you want him to stop the damage while it's going on?
Rebarnea, we can discuss that, Shaila, when it becomes Lamaisa outside of the Daf Yomi. It's not
it
no game.
Rebbe kept on talking without drinking.
I knew. We somehow were getting to that issue.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so, after that marvelous introduction, I feel compelled to actually broaden the introduction a bit and discuss the issue that was raised very briefly with the beginning of the perek, where we were talking about, if you recall, two completely different questions. Question A was the suitability of the food for the Erev. Does it have to be suitable for this individual, or can it be suitable in general, or can it be theoretically suitable for this individual, which is the way Sumchas came about, because when it comes to a Nazir, the Nazir can always be shoyel on his nazir, so it's theoretical suitable. Mashenkin, when it comes to truma, there's no way to make it the truma edible. Or whether b'chlar, we don't care, like the Chachomim say, as long as somebody can eat it, the Kohanim can eat it, it's good enough for anybody. Okay. Now, we had that question, but we had another question. The other question was, suppose you are not in the same rishus as your Erev is. So you're technically in two different locations. that is considered to be a different problem. There you would never say, well, somebody could theoretically have it because they could be in that rishus, or somebody could get into the Beit HaKvarot if they weren't a Kohen, if the bottom line is that you cannot be in the rishus of your Eruv. This is what we're about to get into now. And it's very important, in order to avoid confusion, is to recognize that this concept is actually not very tight, because the Rabbanan are mako by an Erev, and therefore the idea that you and the Erev have to be in the same Rishus takes a couple of things into consideration. One is that even if you're in a different technical Rishus, but you would still be able to reach out and eat that Erev in the Rishus that you are, then we don't have a concern about being in different Rishuyas, because the accessibility from your Rishus of the Erev is considered enough to make it the same Rishus. The other fascinating thing is that the Rabbanan sometimes gave a din of a virtual Rishus, even though there's no possible way for you to get to your Erev. So what that shows is that what we're interested in overall this idea, is not the accessibility of the Erev, which is what it looks like on the surface. That's not the real issue. The real issue is a completely different concern, like we saw in the first Mishnah. You and your Erev must be in the same Rishus. The reason that it becomes so confusing, and it looks in the Gemara as if all we're concerned about is, can you get to your Erev or not, is because if you can get to your Erev, then for all intents and purposes, you are in the same Rishus. But as we'll see at the end of the sugya, even if you cannot get to your Erev, if the Rabbanan give the din of the name of the Rishus in which you are located, the same din as where the Erev is, even though there's no way in hell you could ever get that Erev without being over on Isra D'Oraita, you are still considered to be in the same Rishus as your Erev. So with that in mind, I think we will be able, at least this is Rashi's approach to the whole sugya, it comes very clear. And with that in mind, we can avoid a lot of the complications, especially all of the kashas that we spoke about with Tosfos' concern about why Rashi is only talking about whether it's accessible to the Kohen, the in terms of Achila. All of that gets cleared up. And we also need to remember one other issue. And that other issue is the issue we discussed also a few days ago, which is, at what point is the Erev a kosher Erev? Once we have the Erev set up at the beginning of Shabbos, which is Bein HaShemashot, now, vis-a-vis the din of the food being ro'i, that was a machlokas. Is it the last minute of Friday, or is it the first minute of Shabbos or Yom Kippur? Okay, that's one question. But the other issue about when the actual Erev takes place, that is certainly Bein HaShemashot. Now, if it's Bein HaShemashot, that would mean that whatever was edible and accessible during Bein HaShemashot, whatever the situation will be after Bein HaShemashot, is no longer important to me, because now that is koveya the Erev. Now, that makes a tremendous difference, you see, because supposing the only way I could have access to my Erev is by doing an Isser Durabona. Well, we learned before that according to Rebbe, anything that was Usser Midrabonan was not Assered during Bein HaShemashot for purposes that were no Gea Shabbos. And if that's the case, it would mean that, let's say, climbing a tree. I'm not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. Yes, that's true. But you are allowed to climb a tree, Bein HaShemashot, according to Rebbe, to have an Erev. So that type of thing is very important to take into consideration, which would mean that in defining the issue of hu b'makom echad ve'iruvo b'makom acher, even though that boils down at times to accessibility, when the Rabbanan will allow it to be seen as if you are in the same Rishus, the accessibility we only need to worry about a theoretical accessibility midiraisa. As far as accessibility midirabbanan, that's a given. If you need to be over climbing a tree, you'll climb a tree. That's how it comes out in the sugya. So again, with all of that in mind, let's understand that the moment you've got a deraisa problem, namely, the Erev is in Rosh HaYochid, or you're in Rosh HaRabim, or vice versa. Oh my God, what are you going to do about that? So then there's no way for us to pretend that you and the Erev are in the same Rishus just because you have access, because you do not have access. There is no way that you can get that Erev into your Rishus because it's a deraisa. How about if the Erev is in a Carmelite and you're in a Rosh HaYochid, Rosh HaRabim? Now that's a different issue. That's an Issur D'Rabbanan. And according to Rebbe, since it's a D'Rabbanan, you should not have to worry about it because your Erev would be okay Bein HaShmashot. I want to stress again that even if it is an Issur D'Oraita, there are other factors that the Rabbanan pretend put you into the same rishus as the Erev, even though you'll never be able to get your Erev. And it's important to remember that. So we'll see at the end of the sugya. For instance, supposing your Erev is located in an area where the Rabbanan can pretend virtually that it's as if the ground level has gone up and surrounds the Erev, which it doesn't, and which is certainly not going to allow you to carry from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, but it's enough to make you and your Erev in one Rishus, despite the fact that there's no access. So don't allow yourselves to get fooled by the whole first part of the sugya that pretends that this is about the food. It's not about the food. It's about the Rishus. So now, Nitanobi Ilan Lama'ala Me'asarat Vachim, says our Halakha Mishnah. So you put the Erev on a tree, and this tree, you put it in a place which is 10 Tvachim above the ground level. That would mean that the tree, assuming the tree is 4x4 Tvachim, the tree is the Rishus HaYochid, and if you're downstairs in the Rishus HaRabim under the tree, you're in a different Rishus. So, ein eruvo eruv, that is not a kosher eruv. But if you put it close to 10 tefachim to the ground, so then it's not in Rishus HaYochid, it's in like a Carmelite. So then, eruvo eruv, it is kosher. Nitano bebor, on the other hand, if you put it inside of a bor, even if the bor is 100 amas deep, doesn't matter, because the whole bor is one rishus. Well, we haven't explained where you are, so obviously the Gemara is going to have to deal with that question. Okay, so now Reb Chiya bar Abba, Reb Asi, Rava bar Nosson, they're all sitting around discussing this Mishnah, and Reb Nachman is there, and they're really trying to figure out, where exactly is this tree located? Is the tree located in a Rishus HaYochid? So if it's in a Rishus HaYochid, what's the difference where on the tree, above 10, below 10? The din of Rishus HaYochid, you'll recall from the Masechet Shabbat, is that the entire area all the way up to space is considered to be the same Rishus HaYochid. There's no difference where you would put it. So obviously, it's got to be that the tree is in a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, now let's question item number two, which is the important issue. Where does the person who put the Erev in the tree intend to make his Mokom Shvita? Was he planning on making his home in a treehouse, in the tree where he put the Erev? So what's the problem? He's in the same Rishus HaYochid as his Erev is. Now, don't get worried about the question of what do you mean? You can't have an Erev in a treehouse because you won't be allowed to live in the treehouse on Shabbos. That is not our problem right now. We'll get to that problem later. But let's just assume we're talking about the Rishuyot. So if you and the Erev would be in the same Rishus HaYochid, what's the problem? So therefore, we've got to be talking about, this is the only way to make Mishnah make sense, the guy who puts the Erev is downstairs in the Rishus HaRabim. And the Erev is in a tree in that Rishus HaRabim, which is a Rishus HaYochid. So, okay, now we've got a problem. So, therefore, it makes a nafkamina. Is it accessible within 10 amas, 10 tefachim, or not? Says the Gemara, who cares if it's accessible What are you talking about, man? You're not allowed to use a tree. So if you would go to get the Erev, wouldn't you be over being mishtamish be'ilan? Now, there's obviously another glaring question. And Rashi says, well, of course, the Gemara could also have pointed out the whole thing doesn't make sense, even if you are allowed to climb a tree, because the tree, even lamata mi'asara, is a carmelite. And you're not allowed to take the Erev from a carmelite into Rishus HaRabim. So anyway, this whole thing only makes sense once we get to understand that Isurei Derabbanan don't bother us Ben Hashmashot. So we ask one question about climbing trees, but it's the same question. So in the end, we're going to answer very simply. It's true that trees in Rishus HaRabim. It's true that he's downstairs and is going according to Rebbe. The Omar called Avashu Mishum Shvut, Lo Gazrelav Ben Hashmashot, and everything is fine. Now, Reb Nachman was sitting there, and Reb Nachman said to them, excellent, you did a good job on this Mishnah, Yasher, V'chein Omer Shmuel, Yasher Keach. This is the way Shmuel understood the Mishnah too. So everybody else said to Reb Nachman, wow, Patritu Bakulei Hai? You mean you already like did all of this analysis on the Mishnah and you figured it out and you knew exactly what's going on? I don't understand. What do you mean? You already did it. You just did it yourself. If you did it yourself, why wouldn't Reb Nachman do it? So like, what are they so amazed about? Wow, you're a genius. But you're basically saying, wow, we are genius. No. I mean, not me, compadre, but no, what they were asking is, have you already made this 100% the pshat in the Mishnah, so that now it's part of your Gemara, so that when you teach over this Mishnah, this is how you teach it over? Amar lehu in? Yes, absolutely. That's why I'm quoting it to you from the Dinah Shmuel. This is 100% the way to learn the Mishnah. And in fact, we know that we have a Shmaitzitza, where Reb Nachman quoted Shmuel as saying, everybody, understand, the Mishnah is talking about an Ilan, is Oymed Mishus HaRabim, it is Gavoa Asara, it's Rochav Arba Atvachim, and the idea is that it's Rishus HaYochid, if it's Lamala Mi'asara, and the guy wanted to be Shoves Lamata, and you need to understand it's going according to Rebbe, and Rebbe holds called Avashu Mishum Shvut, Lo Gazru Alav Bein Hashmashot. And now Rava introduces his amazing chiddush, which is that there is such a thing as a virtual huve eruvo brishus echad, despite the fact that you literally cannot get to the food of the eruv, and it makes no difference. Astounding. So therefore, Rava says like this, you should know that this entire discussion is only talking about a tree that is outside of a city. So let's say, imagine a case where a guy lives in city A. He wants to get to city C. Between city A and C is city B. And he is going to put his Erev in city B, which is within range of him, to be able to extend an additional 2,000 amos outside of city B, right? So in that case, says Rava, if the Erev was somewhere in city B, in a public park, which was Rishus HaRabim, and the tree is in that Rishus HaRabim, and it is Rishus HaYochid, just like you say, it wouldn't make any difference. You know why? Because an Ilan HaOmed B'toch Ibura Shel Ir, as long as it's within the area that is enclosed of the city, then that wouldn't matter, because even if it was Lamala Mi'asara, it would still be an Erev, even though he can't get to his food. Why? Because of the virtual consideration, a whole new idea called Mata Keman Demalya Damya. Please put this into your pipe and smoke it, which I hope is a list of munachim and not literally a pipe. And in that case, we consider the entire city to be filled as if it's filled up to the top, and it includes the trees in it. Now, don't ever confuse this with the Deoraisa, because you'll be chayav achatas if you actually go ahead and you carry from that tree down to the park, because that really would be a Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. But it's only nogea this halacha where we worry about hu ve'eruvo b'makom achar. Okay, to be continued tomorrow to see how far we would be willing to extend this virtual hu ve'eruvo b'makom echad, because there's another issue. The other issue is your own space is 4x4. Why don't we give your own space a virtual placement and then there's never a problem? We'll discuss that question tomorrow. But first,